The Hammer, Chapter 31. Sark's eyes grew wide. The city? But the palace and the Rakash are searching for you, and soon they will be looking for me as well. No, Kalian, we must not go to the city. It is a terrible place. They have done cruel things to my kind in the city. It took a while for Corvin to fill Sark in on everything that had taken place, and even longer to try and convince him that he should go along. Finally, Corvin pulled out the hammer. Sark, I made a promise on this, but I need your help. I can't do it alone. Dlizzer took a step back from the black object. Why didn't you just say so in the first place? Corvin looked intently at the hammer in his hand, then leaned forward to place it on top of a flat boulder. He took two long steps away from it and turned to the lizard. Do you think I should leave the hammer here? Oh, no. You will need it to rescue the girl. Please pick it up. I shall try to be more brave. Corvin smiled. I just wanted to make sure I could still understand you, even when I'm not holding it. Sark looked confused. I just realized that something has changed between us. I didn't have the hammer, and yet I still understood everything you said. Sark let out a low hiss and looked between Corvin and the hammer. I don't know how. A wide smile spread across his face. But I am very glad. They stood looking at each other for a long moment. Then Sark jumped down into the stream and dog-paddled out into the middle. Corvin grabbed the hammer and waded in after him. The water came up to his waist in the center, and the current threatened to sweep his feet off the slick rocks. The roar of the falls just beyond the bend sounded a constant warning in his ears. One misstep, and he would be swept over the falls and into the abyss. The current was sweeping Sark further downstream, but he was making good progress at getting across to the other side. The bank rose steeply. Corvin stumbled and crawled out of the water. The fog was thinning, and there was enough pale blue light from above to make his way along the creek. The roar of the falls grew louder, but Sark was nowhere to be seen. I would appreciate your help, a voice called from below. Sark was chest-deep in a rocky bay, a pile of small cap fire sticks gathered on the shore. I found them swirling around in here. We will need these. He handed the sticks up to Corvin and then sprang back up onto the bank. Pulling out some of the long grasses that grew in tufts along the stream, Sark tied the sticks together and slung the bundle over his back. Sark led the way along the creek and down to the main river. The high levee and river road ended abruptly in a jumble of rocks. Sark climbed up toward the road, but Corvin soon passed him. At the top, Sark grabbed a cuff of Corvin's jeans and hauled himself onto the road. He grinned. It is not a good idea to fall back onto a pile of fire sticks, even if they are small ones. So why do we need them? I have discovered something no one else knows, Sark smiled proudly. You can breathe underwater by pulling the air back through the stem. What? I'll show you. Sark pulled a short stick from his bundle and carefully trimmed the bark away from one end with his claw, as if he were starting to sharpen a pencil. Uncapping it, he stuck the trimmed end into his mouth and walked along like a businessman with an expensive cigar. They don't last as long this way, but it works great for swimming under the water. Let me try it. Sark's eyes twinkled. I will make one for you. He picked through his bundle and trimmed up another stick. He held it out to Corvin. Are you certain you want to try it? He pulled it away again. It tastes funny and hurts the lungs a bit. Maybe it would be too strong for you. Corvin plucked the stick from the lizard and flicked off the cap. He'd tried smoking a couple of times. This couldn't be any worse. He pulled softly on the stick. Other than a mild, bitter taste, he could breathe without difficulty. He pulled in a deep breath and swaggered along beside his friend. A loud bang sounded with a flash before his eyes. He squinted to find the smoking bark of his cigar stick peeled back toward his face. Sark made a hissing sound that Corvin was certain was a laugh. I forgot to tell you. You must trim them until they are perfectly smooth. Corvin tossed the ruined stick into the water rushing by. He was sure the lizard hadn't forgotten. I thought you told me that you don't laugh. Sark scratched the side of his head. I cannot remember making that sound before. It must come with being free from the band. You don't have time to laugh when you are always angry. They arrived at the sharp bend in the river road where the dam and the gates had been used to force water into the irrigation system for the fields. Corvin looked out along the aqueduct, but he saw no sign of the seeker. Sark suddenly stopped and pulled Corvin in tight against the small stone building that stuck out over the dam. The lizard jammed his scaly face up to Corvin's ear. Listen, he whispered. Corvin listened, but all he could hear was the water rolling over the dam on the other side of the building. He shook his head at Sark, who gestured for him to stay hidden against the wall. Stay here. I'll be right back. Zarek got down on all fours and slipped around the corner of the building. Corvin leaned his head against the cool stone wall and closed his eyes. It seemed he was always tired in this dark world. Then again, he had no idea of how regularly he'd been sleeping or how many days he'd been gone so far. Zarek had said the door in the Castle Rocks only opened every month. Surely they had not been gone that long. Tipping his head back, he opened his eyes. An ugly gargoyle crouched above him on the corner of the roof. He was about to stand and get a better look when its head swiveled around. The Rantle. It was scanning the valley beyond the wall. Corvin held his breath until the creature unfurled its translucent wings and soared out over the fields in the direction of the settlement entrances. Someone grabbed his arm and Corvin jumped to one side. His yell died on his lips as he looked into the face of Zarek. "So sorry, sir. I do hope I did not scare you." A smirk curved across the lizard's face. Corvin wasn't so sure he liked Zarek's newfound sense of humor. "I was waiting for the Rantle to leave," Zarek said. "I believe he is looking for you." "I saw it. It's gone now." "Yes, but there is also a very angry man with a bandage over one eye. He is leading some of the rebel soldiers." Stark cocked his head to one side. "You seem to have made a lot of enemies in the Corps since you locked me outside the door." "Does it know I'm here?" "No. His connection to his flying guide is not functioning because of his great eye pain." "When did you learn how to throw fire? I have often heard your mother tell you not to play with it." Corvin waved his question off. "Where's the man with the patch now? We need to keep moving on to the city." Zarek held out a paw and helped Corvin to his feet. "He is on the other side of the river. I crossed over on top of the dam. He is going back to his home in the highest crags to heal. He will not bother us for now, but he is sending out his best trackers to find you." He started walking the road toward the city. "He is offering a great reward for your capture, one even a watcher might enjoy." His eyes twinkled as he looked back over his shoulder. Coming around the bend, they found the city of Kadir shrouded in a thick bank of fog. The statue above it looked like a man with his feet in a snowbank. Zarek pointed. "The palace must be making sure people stay indoors until the light. Perhaps they suspect there will be trouble from the rebels." "What do you mean?" "The palace controls the fog in the floods. They use the water to keep people afraid of what might happen if they don't obey the chief watcher. It's done with large machines in the underground river below the karst at the top of the palace courtyard. I saw them after you shut the gate on me, and I had to follow the cold water down into the core. But there is hot water, too, where they create the fog. I saw the fog come out of that round wall at the feet of the great statue." Zarek looked puzzled. "There is only a karst between its feet. That is where they drown people at the wasting ceremony. There has never been a wall around it." "It's new. I saw the workers constructing it when I came out the door." "The one you shut on me?" Corvin nodded. Was Zarek always going to remind him of his mistake? Zarek gestured toward the city. "The statue karst is much like the one you were just in, except there is no island in the middle and no great beast. A water creature, much greater than the one we fought in the labyrinth, dwells in an underwater cave. It lives behind a gate that is open whenever they throw someone in." Zarek looked up at him, his eyes full of pride. "The gate was shut when I was there, but its arms almost caught me. I frightened it away with my fire stick." "And that's where they control the floods?" "I believe that is how it is done. They can send water running through the city. They have drowned people just to justify the wasting." Corvin looked over the river at the fog-shrouded city. At first light, Tirith would be thrown into the water as part of the Chief Watcher's evil plans. Somehow he needed to stop him. He glanced down at Zarek, the lizard's short legs working furiously to keep pace. Surely things would work out better now that he had both Zarek and the hammer back. As they approached the ruined bridge, Zarek yanked Corvin down behind the cover of the stone walls. "Rakash," he hissed and pointed down to the fields. Corvin peeked over the wall. Down below, across the narrow end of the fields, five people walked in a row along a high retaining wall. One of them carried a staff topped by a red globe. "That's a palace staff," the lizard said. "One of the soldiers was carrying it when I took the cloth. The Rakash is returning with the soldiers to report your escape, but they still believe you are Terran." Zarek gripped Corvin's arm tighter. "They will also report my trespass in the core." Corvin glanced over the wall. The group was close enough that any movement along the river road would be detected. "The soldiers won't cross the broken bridge, will they?" "No, they won't go near it. They are passing by to take the high river road so they can cross at the upper bridge." Corvin checked again. The wall the soldiers were on ended at the edge of the fields and then climbed a steep path to join the end of the river road. He crouched back down. Do you think they'll reach the city on time? No, it is much longer, and they will be moving slowly. That trail is very narrow and climbs up and down the cliffs near the river. Few people choose to travel that way, as they are afraid they will fall into the river. But they'll see us if we try to use the broken bridge. Sarek sat back against the wall. Then we must find another cat to skin. The dark cycle will end soon, and the wasting always takes place at the first segment of light. Corvin's stomach nodded. He couldn't be late getting to the temple karst. Crawling over to the riverside of the road, he looked across to where the outlet from Madame Torg's secret city flowed out under the bridge. What if we jump into the river and use the fire sticks to go through that water outlet into the city? I think Madame Torg will send her gray men to help me save Tirith. Tsarek shook his head. I cannot let anyone see me. Those who serve the Chief Watcher will kill me on sight, and those who fight the Watcher will kill me for being one of his kind. I'll look after you. I won't let them hurt you. The lizard laid his paw on Corvin's arm. You don't understand, Corvin. If you are seen with me, they will most certainly kill you as well. Corvin hadn't thought it through until this moment, but it was true. His best friend in this hostile world would also be seen as his primary enemy. He placed his hand on top of Sarek's paw. It will be better once we get back to my world. No, Corvin. Sarek's dark eyes closed over. I have decided that I must stay here in the core. Your world is not my home. Your people will not accept me. I have been shot at a few times by that large boy who lives up near the rock. You cannot protect me in your world any more than I can protect you in mine. What are you saying? Sarek swallowed. Our ways are parting, Kalian. You must go ask your friends for help. I will stay in the river, swim up to the karst, and hide under the edge where the palace guard cannot see me. If you get in trouble at the wasting, you can jump into the water. I will have fire sticks for you, and you can swim away under the water. What about Tirith? I will have enough fire sticks for her, too. What about the creature with the long arms? Tsarek grimaced. I will do my best to keep it away. He pulled two smaller fire sticks from his bundle and trimmed the ends. You will need these to make it through that water tunnel. It will be hard work, so if you find it difficult to breathe, use both of them together. Tsarek slipped over the low wall and hung by his claws. Corvin leaned down to him. Tsarek, you have not called me sir very much since you came back. The lizard cocked his head to one side. I guess after all we have been through, I am thinking of you as my friend, sir, he grinned, like the Lone Ranger and Tonto. What? Where did you hear those names? The blue streaks on Sarek's face flushed. The Kate's mother watched it on her TV box, and I would peek through her window. Corvin grinned and gave him a quick wave. See you soon, Tonto. If my claws were free, I would return the waving to you, for I too hope to see you soon, Kemosabe. His eyes twinkled. And this time, don't shut the door on me. He pushed off the wall and dove down under the water. A trail of bubbles worked its way upstream. Corvin looked down into the water and his heart beat faster. He'd never jump from anything this high.